Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 14. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the text. In our gospel reading last week, we were witnesses to Jesus feeding the 5,000. The meal in the wilderness had ended, and Jesus tells his disciples to get into a boat and set sail for the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismisses the crowd and spends some time in prayer. He wanted to have some time to rest. He wanted to have some time alone to pray, as was his custom. We see him do this all the time in the gospel readings. I believe this speaks volumes in regard to the value of an active prayer life. Here is Jesus, who is true God. There is nothing he does not know. There is nothing he cannot accomplish. Yet even he seeks out his Father in heaven and is refreshed with some quiet time with his Father. Quite often when our lives get hectic, the tendency is to cut out time with God. Oh, I just don't have time for that today. That merely compounds the problem. After all, it is Christ our Lord who says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What God brings is refreshing, nourishing, strengthening. Therefore, what God offers to you is very different from what the world offers. The fellowship and communion we have with him demonstrates how intently God desires to have an active part of your life. Jesus comes to his disciples across the water. He shows to them in no uncertain terms that no amount of time or space or even any storm can remove Jesus from them. Paul expresses this truth in his letter to the Romans. We heard it in our epistle reading 2 weeks ago. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Christ comes to his disciples across the water, and he demonstrates that nothing can separate him from his people. But he also is not content to be recognized as a ghost or as a divine someone or as a divine something. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He is the one promised to Adam, the Son of God who would be born of a woman. He is the one true God who has power over all of creation. He has the power to feed a multitude with but a handful of food. He has the power to defy any law of science. If he wanted to, he could make the sun go dark in the middle of the day, even without the moon blocking it, as we're going to see a week from tomorrow. He has the power to walk on water. He has the power to heal any illness. He has the authority to forgive any sin. He comes to those who are filled with fear, identifies himself, and replaces fear with faith. And he says, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." And the faith that is created brings with it the desire for personal communion with Christ. If you have faith, you desire to be with him, to hear his voice, to partake of his gifts. On the other side of that coin is the reality that if you do not desire to commune with Christ, if hearing the voice of our Lord or partaking of his gifts that he offers is a low priority, then you are deeming the Word of God to be as something that is unimportant, which by definition means that your relationship with Him is on very shaky ground. And that's really hard for us to hear when we think about all of those whom we love, for whom participation in the Word of God and in the offering of the sacraments and the sacramental life of the church that He brings to us. For so many, we know where it is a low priority, we pray for them. We fear for them. Because there are eternal consequences in regard to not participating in the Word of God. Because as we heard in our epistle reading, faith comes by hearing. And how will you hear the Word of God if you do not hear it preached? That is the reality that we live in. We look at Peter, and we see that he believed the Lord when he said, "Take heart, it is I." And he immediately says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says to him, "Come." Now, Peter demonstrates great faith, steps out of a perfectly good boat, and does what would be impossible for any ordinary person to do. And he gets out of the boat and he walks on the water. But as Matthew records, when he saw the wind, he became afraid, began to doubt. And as he began to doubt, he began to sink. Peter offers to us so many just vivid illustrations of what our faith and relationship with God is like, as he has a roller coaster of ups and downs in regard to making a wonderful, brilliant confession of faith and then turning around and demonstrating a lack of understanding or a lack of faith repeatedly. And here he does it in a very short period of time. God calls us to a life of faith. And through his power, extraordinary things happen in our lives, most of which cannot be seen with the naked eye. As we have been washed clean of all of our sin by God himself in the waters of baptism. As we have received the ultimate healing in this life through the blood of our Lord, cleansing us of our sin. That through Christ's death and resurrection, we have the sure promise of eternal life and salvation that no one but God could give to us. We certainly could not provide it for ourselves. But just like Peter, who became distracted and fearful of the wind, as Matthew very clearly points out and emphasizes that point, we also tend to get distracted and doubt when turbulent times, or even when we just inflict ourselves with a hectic schedule. And these things get in the way of our life in Christ. When Peter was first on the water, it had to be great. Can you imagine? I mean, doing something that literally, other than Jesus, no one has ever done. It had to be exciting. But as Matthew says, when he saw the wind, he began to doubt, and he began to sink. It's one of my favorite observations in all of Scripture. If you are standing on top of open water, no matter how much wind there is, wind is not your problem. Later, Christ told Peter his problem was that his faith was little. Peter's faith was little because he saw Christ and Christ's power as being little, or at least littler than the wind that threatened him. And we look at our lives when things are rolling along smoothly in life. Oh, we're happy and excited about the wonderful, extraordinary things the Lord is doing for us. Life is great. But those stretches of time get broken up quite often by wind. When the wind and the waves of trouble or illness or an uncertain future knock you about, the storms of life come in, and sometimes that storm lasts longer than we could ever imagine it lasting. And God is often viewed as being littler than that wind. If this view is allowed to continue, unfortunately, God can become a low priority or even be deemed unimportant because you imagine that he's not fixing my problem with all this wind, not realizing, like Peter walking on the water, he had been rescued all along from sinking into the depths. This is what Christ has done for us. We have been rescued from sinking into the depths, but we still have wind. Peter was so caught up in the apparent danger posed by the wind that he was blind to this incredible miracle that through Christ's power, he was standing on top of the water in the first place. And when he began to doubt and subsequently began to sink, Peter cries out, "Lord, save me." If only he would have realized that he would have been saved the entire time that he was walking on the water. He was being saved from sinking. We are to be careful not to make the same mistake and become distracted by all the wind in our lives. You can't save yourself from sinking when trouble arises or even when your schedule is drowning. It's solely through the power, mercy, and grace of God that we did not sink into the depths long ago. The reality is God has been saving us all along. As we are a people of faith, walking on the water in this sea of trouble, this sinful world in which we live. Like with Peter and the disciples, the faith that has been created in us is not based on our own personal whims or preferences or desires or sentiments. Our faith is founded in the Word of God. And the world around us thinks that the promises of God in which we place our faith make no more sense than stepping out of a perfectly good boat and trusting that we would walk on the water. And apart from Christ and his word, of course, that would be true. On our own, we would have the same chance of successfully, you know, going out to the river and trying to walk across, trying to get to Missouri on top of the water. You'd have the same chance of doing that as you would for providing for your own forgiveness, life, and salvation. None of this can be accomplished without the Son of God, born of a woman, dying on a cross, rising from the dead, who comes to us and is not content to be thought of as a divine something or a divine someone. Or it's just some spirit off in the distance. And we look to Christ, and we join with the apostles and proclaim in faith, truly, you are the Son of God. Amen.